know where I used to go before. I don't go there anymore, I found a better way. Oh, don't look for me to say some things I used to say before. I don't say them anymore, I found a better way.
The Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come.
Here I meet the Lord, I found a better way. Oh, don't look for me to be just what I used to be, 'cause there's been a change in me, I've found a better way. Well, I may not be so proud, and I may not boast so loud, but I'm bound for heaven now, I've found a better way. Oh, I've found a better way, brighter paths for my feet. My heart rejoiced so sweet, I've found a better way. Since I found a church and I found a place to pray, and there I meet the Lord, I found a better way.
Now I'm happy as can be, I claim sweet victory, 'cause Christ Jesus lives in me, he is the only way. Now the journey might seem long, but I know I'm not alone. I'm headed to my home, I found a better way.
Oh, I found a better way, brighter paths for my feet. My heart rejoiced so sweet, I found a better way. And since I found a church and I found a place to pray, and there I meet the Lord, I found a better way. And there I meet the Lord, he is the only way.
Well, hello neighbor, welcome to our broadcast again today. We're delighted that you're listening, and you're listening to the Spirit of Truth. Coming to you from the Morning Star Baptist Church in Pacolet, South Carolina. I'm Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, and I just want to say to you today that we're delighted to have you listening and tuning into the broadcast today. You've been listening to the Morning Star Trio, and they've been singing this song, opened our program today with I Found a Better Way. Thank God. Aren't you glad, neighbor, that there's a better way than this world has to offer? I'm glad today that Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And I'm glad that I found that way, because he convicted my heart of sin one day and brought me to a knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so it's a wonderful joy to be able to come today by way of radio. And I would invite you to listen each and every Sunday at this time to the Spirit of Truth broadcast. We are delighted about what God's doing in this world. Yes, God's still on the throne, and God's still doing things in this world. We're hearing from missionaries from all around the world where people are being saved by the marvelous grace of God. And just every now and then we have somebody saved here at the church, and we're delighted about that. I'm glad that God's still in the saving business. Why don't you call a neighbor and invite them to listen to the Spirit of Truth broadcast? I'm sure that some of these things that we're preaching would be a tremendous help and a blessing and an encouragement to them. If it's a blessing to you, if the song or the sermon is a blessing to you, why don't you write to us? You can correspond with us simply by writing to Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, Morning Star Baptist Church, 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, Pacolet, South Carolina, zip code 29372. Or you can correspond with me personally. Just send me an email, Andrew Kerrigan at bellsouth.net, and in the subject line just put radio, and we'll be sure to not delete that from our mail. And so I want to invite you to listen once again now. The trio's coming to sing, and they're singing an old song here. I believe it's entitled Something Got a Hold of Me.
Mm-hmm.
door, and the devil says, don't you go in. I says, I'll go in, but that will not hurt, and I'll sit as far back as I can. Something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. I went there to fight, but oh, on that night, there's something got a hold of me. About that time, he got up to preach, and he looked right down upon me. He told everybody how mean I had been. I don't think he thought me. They sang and they shout and they all clapped their hands and they all got down on their knees. When the fire fell from heaven, it fell upon me. It was there the Lord saved me. Something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me.
Thank the Lord. I'm glad that somebody got a hold of me one day about 46 years ago, and my dear friend changed my life. What a blessing and a joy. That is a song from our trio's latest CD. If you'd be interested in, they have two CDs. If you'd be interested in either of them or both of them, if you'll just contact us, you can do that by sending a letter to Morning Star Baptist Church, 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, Packlet, South Carolina, and just mention the fact you'd like to have the CDs, and we'll get you the information how you can get those. Well, neighbor, would you pray for us that God would use us? We're coming upon a time of year when, in the last of October, we'll be having our 40th homecoming here at the Morning Star Baptist Church. Our church is in its 40th year of existence, and my, how God has blessed us over these years. And then the first week in November, we'll be having our 10th annual missions conference, and we already have 20-something families, missionary families signed up, going to be with us in our missions conference in November, and we're looking for probably 10 to 12 more families to be contacting us. My, it's a wonderful time of the year when we're reminded of what God has commissioned us to do, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you have your Bible handy today, I want you to turn with it to Luke chapter 12, verse number 40. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 40, I want to read just this one verse. It says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Several weeks ago, I preached on the second coming of the Lord. And from that, I've been thinking about this thought, are you ready? And the word that I want to emphasize in this message today is the word ready. And the question I want to ask is, are you ready? Are you ready? To be ready means to be prepared. It also means to be available, and this is one of the attitudes which we as Christians should adopt. Every morning when we get out of our bed, beloved, we should be available unto the Lord. We should be prepared to not only serve God as we journey through the day, but beloved, we should be prepared if Jesus were to come. And so using this text as my point of departure, I want to show how we as Christians should be ready. First of all, from Luke chapter 12, verse number 40, we learn that we should be ready to meet the Lord. Now, I want to say, neighbor, it is important, of course, to read the context in which these words of our Lord occur. And let's go back to verse number 35, and we'll pick up our reading there in the Word of God. Listen to what he said. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Beloved, I want to say these words of our Lord make two things quite clear. First of all, they assure us of the fact that he is coming again. Neighbor, I am excited today about the fact that this could be the day that the Lord comes. I know I'm preparing this radio message a week before time, but neighbor, before this radio message could ever go on the air next Sunday afternoon, I'm glad that Jesus could have come. Oh, what a blessing it is to have that living hope in your heart. What a joy it is, neighbor, to get up in the morning and know that this could be the day when Jesus Christ is going to come. I want to say to you, I'm absolutely certain, I'm absolutely sure in my soul, in my heart, all that within me is, beloved, that Jesus Christ is going to come. He's coming again. The second, they tell us that his coming will be suddenly and unexpected. I believe that the next really great event on the Lord's will be the Lord's coming. And the question I must ask you is this: are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Yes, I believe on God's great calendar, this is the next great event. I just feel it in my soul. I feel it in my spirit. Ever since I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, I've had this feeling in my soul, beloved, that before my time would come for departure in death, that Jesus was going to come in the air. Oh, beloved, listen, I get up in the morning and I listen for the trumpet sound. I get up in the morning and I look toward the eastern skies. And beloved, just like in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, even so come Lord Jesus. Oh, for those of us that are saved by the marvelous grace of God, what a wonderful event this is going to be. And so not only in the sense that your sins are forgiven, that you belong to Christ, and that you have been justified by his grace, but are you ready? Ready to meet him and go to be with him. Oh, beloved, listen, I'm glad that my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I'm ready to meet him because I've been saved. But neighbor, listen, I get up in the morning. I want to live for him day by day. I want to be ready for Jesus if he comes. What a tragedy it is that because there has been so much confusion in the teaching of the second advent, truly many of God's servants have given up declaring this truth altogether. Therefore, it is no warrant for us doing this, for the Bible is full of the glorious message of the blessed hope of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are five R's which we can keep in mind. That is return, resurrection, rapture, reunion, and reign. Oh, beloved, let me give them to you again. Return, resurrection, rapture, reunion and reign. The sequence of events, this is the sequence of the events before us today. Are you ready? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we read the solemn words, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Neighbor, I want to be up. I want to be occupied. I want to be busy. I want to be doing something for the Lord when he comes. I'm excited about the fact as I sit here before this radio microphone today. Thank God if Jesus were to come today. Listen, there would all of a sudden be a silence on this program. And neighbor, I'd be gone to be with the Lord in the air. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. And so, my friend, we learned that we should be ready to meet the Lord. Be ready, my dear friend. I want to ask you again today, are you ready? You that are listening or driving down the road in your automobile, are you ready to meet the Lord? You that are sitting there in the comfort of your home, are you ready to meet the Lord? You that might be listening to this by way of internet, sitting there somewhere in your office, are you ready to meet the Lord? No matter who you are, what your status in life is, my dear friend, you had better be ready to meet the Lord, because Jesus could come today. What if the trumpet were to sound right now? What if the sky was to burst open and Jesus step out, and all of a sudden in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those of us that are saved by the grace of God, we're going to be gone. What if you're lost and left behind in this world? Oh, neighbor, what terrible judgment there is coming for you. Listen, you'd better be ready in salvation. And for those of you that are saved by the marvelous grace of God, you better be ready to meet him, because we're going to meet him at the judgment seat of Christ. Number two, from the book of Acts chapter 21 verse number 13, we learn that we should be ready to suffer for Christ. From verse number 10 in this chapter, we read about a man whose name was Agabus, who prophesied that the Jews in Jerusalem would capture Paul and bind him and deliver him to the Gentiles. This did not move Paul at all. It didn't bother him at all. He immediately said, "I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Beloved, I want to say what a tremendous thing this was for Paul to say. Of course, Peter said it once in a different connection, but he was boasting and overconfident when he said it. He said, "Lord, I'll never forsake thee. I'll die for thee." And Peter denied the Lord. But my dear friend, here Paul is saying, my dear friend, with all of his soul, that he was ready to suffer for Christ. He was ready to die for him if necessary. Beloved, listen, I believe that you and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be ready to suffer and even to die for the Lord if it needs be. Oh, beloved, listen, Christians have had to do this all down through the ages, and in your lifetime and in mine. Today, many Christians are in prison. I get a magazine called The Voice of the Martyrs. I get email from The Voice of the Martyrs. And I want to say, my dear friend, there are still many Christians that are imprisoned today. We are supporting missionaries that have been imprisoned for their testimony of Jesus Christ. I met an old man in Bulgaria, beloved, that for years was in prison because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in his old age and in his latter years, he boasted and rejoiced over the fact that he was able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Beloved, listen, there are many in our day that are still suffering for the cause of Christ. We have brothers in China that are suffering for the cause of Christ. We have brothers in India that are suffering for the cause of Christ. We have brothers in many of the foreign lands that are in prison and are still suffering for the cause of Christ today. We should be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Yes, the time may well come when we also will be bound and called upon to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say, "I haven't any dying grace," my answer is no, of course you haven't. But you will have if you're ever called upon to pass through the veil of death in this way. I'm glad that God not only gives us grace to be saved by, but God gives us grace to live by. And I'm here to tell your neighbor that if it were to come to the place that we were called upon to die for Christ, I believe Christ would give us the same kind of grace he gave to those men in the Fox's Book on Martyrs, my dear friend, that just lift up their eyes toward heaven and give God honor and praise and glory. I'm thinking about old Stephen in the book of Acts when the stones fell upon Stephen. My dear friend, listen, I believe he just lift up his eyes toward heaven, and there he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Oh, my dear friend, I want you to understand that if we're ever called upon to die for the cause of Christ, I believe that God will give us the grace necessary to do that. Not only will he give us grace necessary to die by, but if you're ever called upon to suffer for Christ, I believe the grace of God will be sufficient for you in that hour. Beloved, we have missionaries around the world that are suffering for the cause of Christ. They're suffering in many ways. Oh, beloved, listen, let me encourage you to get involved in your church and giving to missions and supporting our missionaries around the world. They need our help. They need our hand. Beloved, listen, they need our prayers today. And so as Christians, we should be ready to suffer, and if needs be, to die for the cause of Christ. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 29. And verse number the third point today is from Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. We learn that we should be ready to preach the gospel. The apostle Paul said this. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And of course, we have only to read through the book of Acts and the epistles of Paul to find that this man was always on the job, preaching, preaching, preaching. My dear friend, it made no difference if it was in the synagogue or down in the prison, in the palace or in public or in private. Oh, my dear friend, too many or too few or even to one, he was ready to preach whenever the opportunity was given to him. This word ready is an interesting word because it also suggests availability. Oh, my dear friend, this great apostle, he was ready to preach the word of God. Just preach the gospel. And I want to say to you out there, Radio Land, today, some preacher may be discouraged that's listening to this broadcast today. Maybe you haven't been in the pulpit for a while. My dear friend, listen, you don't have to be in the pulpit to preach the word of God. Find you an individual and tell them about Jesus Christ. It's called personal evangelism. Find you somebody and, my dear friend, sit down with them and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, listen, doesn't it burn in your heart? Listen, Jeremiah said the word of God burned in my heart. The apostle Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I want to say to you, my dear friend, I've been preaching for more than 45 years. Oh, it's a desire in my heart to want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here we find that Paul was ready to preach the gospel. It didn't make any difference. It was in the palace, in prison, wherever he was at, on the street corner, before governors, wherever, he just preached the word. I want to tell you, my dear friend, when you're ready, it means that you are available. It suggests that we do not have to be buttonholing people all the time and preaching to them, but we have to be ready to preach when the Holy Spirit opens the door and the opportunity prompts us to say the word. Oh, for an illustration of this, we have only to think of Philip, who was preaching in Samaria when the Holy Spirit told him to leave and go into the desert in order that he might there preach the gospel to one man. Philip was ready to go, and when later the Holy Spirit told him to go and join himself to the chariot so that he might preach to the queen's treasurer, we're told that Philip ran to do it. He was ready and available to the Lord to do the work of the Lord. I want to ask you again, beloved, are you ready for the coming of Christ? Are you ready for Christ to come again? Are you ready to preach the word? And then I want to say from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 18, we learn that we should be ready to help those who are in need. Verse number 17 of this chapter reads, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, my dear friend, listen, we're to tell them to do good, to be rich in kindly actions, to be ready to give to others, and sympathize with those who are in distress. Beloved, listen, notice a wonderful thing here. As we do this, we lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And verse number 19 makes clear there's a tremendous scope for an all-out ministry of compassion, a ministry not only to save the souls of men and women, but to comfort them and to relieve them in their distress. How often I have read the parable of the Good Samaritan and have spiritualized it from start to finish. It's quite legitimate to do this. But our Lord told this parable to emphasize the fact that our neighbors are those to whom we can show ourselves neighborly. Oh, beloved, listen. The first epistle of John, hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. My dear friend, we're to be involved in the things of Christ. We're to be involved in the work of the Lord. We're to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, my dear friend, are you prepared? Are you prepared today to be available to God to do whatsoever God would have you to do? There's some of you out there that have loved ones in your family that are lost without Jesus Christ. They're not ready for the coming of Christ. They're not ready to die. Beloved, witness to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be like the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16, where Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." My dear friend, witness to your neighbor. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about a Jesus that's willing. Tell them about a Jesus that's able. Tell them about a Jesus that can. Tell them, my dear friend, that there's coming a day when they wish they were ready to meet the Lord. Jesus is coming. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord?
Let me tell you about my friend, on whom I depend. He's the best friend I ever knew. With all my heart I want to serve him, with all my heart I want to please him, do what he wants me to do. But even at my best, when I'm put to the test, there are times that but the wonder of it all, he loves me when I fall. He loves me just as I am.
Oh, neighbor, listen. What a blessing. What a joy. The Lord wants you just like you are. Why don't you come to Christ? Why don't you come and say, "Lord, I need you today"? My friend, he's there for you today. Why don't you just bow your heart before the Lord if you're lost and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. He'll do that. If you're saved today and not right with God, why don't you go to the Lord and claim 1 John 1:9?
He's always